Hello, friends and listeners of the LeaderCast podcast. This is Mo, the producer, jumping on really quick before this episode starts to let you know that we are going to be wrapping up season one of the podcast. The final episode in season one will be coming out on April 23rd. We are going to be coming back with an even better season two later this year. Stay tuned on our socials for updates as we know more, and thank you for being an avid listener.
So often, when someone doesn't agree with you, whether you like it or not, first principles, human nature says, you kind of want them to fail. You kind of want to be right. Humans want to be right. And so if you disagree and they make a decision, you don't want to be the person that's sitting there wanting to be right about the decision being a wrong decision. Because as a collective, you should be aligned on your goal. You should know exactly what you're both trying to achieve. So if one of you thinks that this is the right way to achieve this goal, you better believe you should jump on board and help to make that happen.
Welcome to the LeaderCast podcast, a weekly deep dive into the stories that transformed our guests into leaders worth following. I'm your host, Joe Boyd. If you've been enjoying the podcast, thank you so much for being a listener. One simple thing you can do to help us out is leave a review wherever you listen. Today's guest is Lisa Bilyeu. She is the author of the new book, Radical Confidence, and she is the co-founder of the company Quest that grew from $0 to $1 billion in 5 years, working alongside her husband, Tom. We talk a lot in this episode about how to work with someone you're close to, like your life partner. I think you're going to love it. Lisa Bilyeu, welcome to the LeaderCast podcast. There you are. Look at you.
What up, dude? So great to see you again. Thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited for this conversation.
I am so excited. We were supposed to become friends like 2 years ago, and we were supposed to do an event together, and then COVID got to you. And so now you're going to be one of our main stage presenters at our GOAT event coming up here in just a few weeks. So I'm so glad we get to chat some before you make your big introduction to our whole community there.
Yeah, ditto. And I got to say, just to kick it off, like, what a great example of when you have a goal, you just don't give up.
Yeah.
Because both me and you were like relentless on making sure that this was going to happen. And so for it to be 2 years in the making, for us to, you know, have had the plans got spoiled because unfortunately I ended up getting COVID, but neither of us gave up. So let's just start there on just like what it takes to be a leader. You just can't give up no matter what hurdles and obstacles come in your way. And so me being in front of you today is a great example of neither of us giving up.
I love that. That's awesome. And if I was going to be honest, I do give up. I just wait the next day and then I convince myself out of it.
Yeah, my husband interviewed someone called Nastia Lukin, and she was a gymnast and in the Olympics. And she was telling a story about when she was young, right? You can imagine a kid, they want to play with their friends. They love gymnastics, but they still want to be a kid. And so she would have these struggles and she would go to her mom and be like, Mom, I just want to quit. I just want to quit on the hard days. And she goes, honey, you can quit anytime, just as long as it's always on a good day.
That's it.
And that always hit me because the truth is when things are going well, none of us want to quit. It's like, oh my God, this is great.
Right.
And so I always keep that in my mind that like you have like quitting sometimes is actually the right thing to do in order to start something new.
Yes.
But why are you quitting? Why don't you proceed? If it's because there's an obstacle, then like I said, I always say to myself, if it's a great day, then you can quit, Lisa. But never do it on a bad day because your emotions are going to take over.
I love this. Hey, a ton of people listen to this know who you are. Some of them don't. So you know what the question I've been asking lately just says, if we were to sit next to each other in an airplane, we didn't know each other. And I just said, what do you do? How do you answer that to a total stranger that just asks you, what do you do?
It kind of depends. Usually I go to, I'm an entrepreneur, or I say I own my own business, and they're like, oh, well, what business? And I was like, well, I own a studio. Oh, how did you get to own a studio? Well, I built Quest Nutrition. Oh my God, I've had a Quest bar before. So that's typically how the conversation goes. And then it's like, what took you from a protein bar to building a studio? Mm-hmm. And so then I go into my whole story.
Yeah.
But, it's something actually that I've really try to work on because I still need to do the internal work to truly understand why, but I still get a little embarrassed over that question.
Huh. Like, are you embarrassed of your success?
It's not necessarily that I'm embarrassed. I try to be very sensitive to who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
And so I want to like, I don't want to be like, well, I built this business. And, you know, like it's, I don't want to be insensitive. And that's always my default. So as much as I try to hedge my bets and make sure that I don't trigger someone, if it's on a plane, especially the last thing I want to do is upset somebody. So, and then, you know, that environment does make a difference. If you're at a business event, then I'm more likely to lean into, oh, this is what I've done.
Yeah.
But even that sometimes when people ask you the question, what do you do? It's just the title, right? That doesn't actually define who I am, how I think, how I show up every day, the struggles I go through. So it is a very like surface question. And so I try to, and you know me, Joe, I just like to go deep on things.
So
I'm working on it though. Again, I understand that it's the type of question that people just ask to put you in a bucket. And so I need to get comfortable with knowing what bucket they want to put me in.
So you don't walk around like Will Ferrell in Anchorman and say, I'm kind of a big deal. You don't do that?
I do not.
Okay, that's good.
I definitely do not do that.
That's
yeah.
good to know. So my guess is probably most everybody listening has heard of Quest Nutrition, but maybe didn't use the product or whatever. So could you just go back a little bit? And I know this could take a long time, but just kind of tell a little bit of your origin story around Quest and how all that came to be and how you and Tom worked together, that sort of stuff. And then we can kind of take it from there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I was brought up Greek Orthodox, and every which way that I turned, the messaging was, well, you're a Greek woman, so that means you're going to end up married with kids. And even though I had these big dreams of making movies and I went to film school, inevitably, you know, when we have certain expectations put on us, we end up, you know, believing it and then taking them on as truth.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened to me. So I ended up being a stay-at-home wife for 8 years. And I always want to say, like, there's nothing wrong with being a stay-at-home wife. In fact, it was one of the hardest jobs I've ever done. It just wasn't my dream.
Yeah.
And I didn't speak up. I didn't say that I didn't want this life. I just fell into the habit of this is what the expectation was. Mm. And then after that expectation happens, I was getting validation for being that amazing stay-at-home wife. And so when you feel badly about yourself, when you have insecurities, you're just searching for those moments that make you feel good. And so I was feeling really good about being a great stay-at-home wife. I was like, I was doing it like a business. I was like, all right, his clothes are out, his food is cooked, the house is clean, right? Like I would organize the sock drawer like it was, you know, my own Olympic sport. You know, I took things very seriously. And, but yeah, I never spoke up. And my husband was just at that point, we were just chasing money in the hopes to try and make movies at some point. And surprise, surprise, money didn't bring us happiness. And it came to the point after the 8 years that I just said, enough's enough. It's affecting our relationship. I don't care about money. And so that brought up the question, what would our life look like if it was predicated based on passion and a mission and not based on just trying to make money? And his family was morbidly obese. I come from a family that my mom was borderline anorexic. And then as an adult, as grown up myself, I saw her then become morbidly obese. So she had a very unhealthy relationship with food. Mm-hmm. And so food became the thing that, you know, it's Mother Teresa that says not everyone can fight for the masses, but everyone will fight for the one. So who is that person you wake up every morning fighting for? And so you better believe I could fight for my mom every single morning. And what I didn't expect, though, was originally I was just like, babe, I'll help you out. Like, I'm a good Greek housewife. How can I support you? So even going into starting Quest, it was from a position of how can I support you on this journey that you're going on? Now, what we didn't expect was that the company would grow at 57,000%.
Sure.
And so that takes you from zero to a $1 billion company within 5 years. And so for me, going from a stay-at-home wife of 8 years, not having really built my skill sets, feeling insecure, having imposter syndrome every step of the way, as Quest was growing, I ended up realizing that I found myself. Now, what I mean by that is I didn't believe in who I was, but that didn't actually dictate who the person I could become. Hmm. And in growing Quest so quickly, in having to adopt and learn new skills, literally so rapidly, that I realized the power of self, the power of mastery. And I started to find pride and validation in that. Instead of seeking it from the outside world of how everyone's going to make me feel good about myself, I started to find the struggle actually made me feel good about myself. Because yesterday, I couldn't do it. And today, now I can. Hmm. And that ended up being the, you know, we built Quest. We were announced as the second fastest growing company in North America after just 3 years. That kind of started my whole life on going from thinking I was going to be a traditional Greek housewife with four children to building a $1 billion company with my husband.
Thank you for sharing all that. That's quite a story. And I know it's not the first time you've shared it. I do wonder, like, so I think for me, LeaderCast, there's a lot of leadership development companies out there. And my hope more and more every day is that we can be the most sort of human, like empathetic, like really helping leaders figure out at the end of your life, when you look back, how do you want to have led your life? You know what I mean? More than just build a, because I'm sure a lot of people ask you how you built a $1 billion company. I'm a little interested in that. We don't got time for it though. So what I am interested in is, as much as you're willing to share, there's probably a lot of folks listening to this that it could be with a spouse like you were, where you were partnered up. And to bring up that you are not happy is actually risking, I would assume you might say, I had something that was okay or good, I just want it better. And so that's a really hard risk to take. It's easier to take the risk of I'm miserable and I want better. You know what I mean? So I'm a little curious about what made you do that, and then how you worked it out relationally, because I feel like there's probably a lot of people, even if it's not with their spouse, I had situations in my life where two business partners that felt like total brothers to me, we probably should have had a conversation earlier about is this working? But it's intimidating to bring it up. You know, you have to have the right way to do it. So for folks that are in that situation right now, where you're just feeling like I'm not in the right place, but I'm paired, partnered with someone I care about, how do you do that? What's your best advice on that?
Yeah. So I love this question, by the way, because this is the difficulty. It was really hard at the time. And now in hindsight, when I look back at the actual strategies that I did, it becomes almost a blueprint. And so the first thing is you got to get comfortable in the change yourself, because no matter who you talk to, no matter when you bring up how you address it, if you're not confident in that decision, you may find yourself resorting back to the means, making yourself small again. So you have to know why you're doing it. So the why of it is super freaking important. And for me, it was, you know, oh, I'll do this when. I'll make a change when my husband makes enough money. I'll make a change when my husband is happy. I'll make a change when. And so the first thing that I would say is, what would happen if that when never came?
Yeah.
Where's your life? What's your life going to look like in 5 years, in 10 years? So you've got to be so damn concrete in your why and have utter conviction. So that's step number one. Then you need to give the other person grace that they have no idea where you are mentally. And so for me, it's like I was the one that chose for 8 years to not speak up. I was the one that wasn't saying, hey, this makes me miserable. So it's not my husband's fault. He had no idea. So that was the first thing that I just started with. It's like, I don't think you realize, and this is on me for not expressing this, but I'm profoundly unhappy. Now, when you say that to someone that truly cares about you, whether it's a friend or a partner or a spouse or a parent, no matter what, the hope is that they respond to the fact that you're profoundly unhappy.
Yeah, right.
And so I started there. And then the next step was, this is going to impact you too. And so I need to give you the grace and the space for you to have feelings towards it. I can't force you. It's not like, well, now that I've made the decision, this is going to make me happy, you should be happy too. No, the truth is that you're changing. It's probably going to make their life more difficult. So you need to give them the space and the grace to have that process. Think about grief. Think about a death. People always give you, well, you know, almost automatically give you time and space when you're grieving a death. But we don't do that in every area, other area of our lives. And I think it's super important. And so for my husband, and, you know, I was taking care of him at home, for me to go from a stay-at-home wife to then business, I had to really explain to him that I was unhappy, why I wanted to make the change, and the fact that I wasn't, the acts that I was doing was based on my actions, but he is going to have a response. So have a response, take time to process it, and then let's meet again and tell me how you feel. Like, that's super important. People just want to be seen and heard. That is like the key to almost every successful relationship, whether it's a friend or a partner. Be seen and heard.
Yeah.
So with that, I just needed my husband to feel seen and heard that my change was going to impact him. So we then got back together and he said, you're right. I need time to adjust. And so I said, okay, just like an addict, if you will, you have to like wean them off something. I said, how about I wean you off me doing everything for you? So this week I do it 7 days a week. I cook and I clean for you. Next week I'm going to do it 6. The week after I'm going to do it 5. The week after that I'm going to do it 4. How do you feel about that plan? And he felt seen. He felt heard. He felt respected. So he was like, thank you, A, for just giving me that space. And then B, eventually, you know, his answer was, what kind of husband would I be to put clean clothes ahead of my wife's happiness?
Hmm. Yeah.
And so that became, so with you and your friends, right, the ideal is that you go to them and have said, this isn't making me happy. What do you want out of life and what do I want out of life? Yes. Does that still align? There's no right or wrong. Because I think often we kind of go in thinking my decision is right. And so I'm going to either try to convince the other person or I'm going to prove why the other person is wrong. The truth is you just want to create harmony in the decision that you're making.
Yeah.
And so if you can have that type of breakdown of a conversation, at least for me and my husband, it ended up being beautiful because it brought us closer together because he felt like he was a great support system in this change that I was making.
That's, I mean, Lisa, that like you had to have some serious wisdom to process it that way. You know what I mean? Because it would have been so easy to tell yourself the story that you're the victim and people, and he would not have responded well. I would assume nobody would. If you said, this is all your fault, you forced me into this life or whatever. Just saying like, kudos to you for naturally walking that out. I think it shows a lot of growth to your point in that life and being able to articulate it now. I think what you just said will be so helpful to folks. So thanks for saying that.
Yeah, thank you. And then just one more actually thing to add to that from what you just said. The truth is whenever I'm tackling an issue that I don't know how to tackle, because the truth was I didn't know how to tackle it, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't that I was like, all right, and here's the plan and I'm going to, you know, I've laid this all out. I just went back to first principles. And first principle says that when you go to someone and you tell them versus you discuss with them, they're going to start putting their walls up. Mm-hmm. First principle says that if I blame you, you're going to get defensive. And so I kind of just took that step back and said, what do I know about humans? What do I know about my husband? And what's the best way that I can handle this, that I would want, if he was to do this to me, how would I want him to handle it with me? And the truth was, I wouldn't have known that you were unhappy. I wouldn't want you just to have an expectation that I'm going to jump on board because you say so. I want to have grace to be able to grieve and have a transition period. And so once I said, okay, this is what I would want, if he was to approach me, let me give the same gift. Yeah. And so that was kind of how I broke it down and how I see any problem. I just try to break it down with first principles and then how would I want somebody to handle that with me and then do the same back.
This is going to sound like a non sequitur, but it's not. Have you ever been interviewed by Oprah? Developing world-class leaders in your community is now easier than ever with LeaderCast. In addition to our flagship May event, becoming a presenting partner allows you to stream multiple events per year, each with an opportunity to earn money. The new LeaderCast lets you invite 1 to 1,000 people with unlimited streaming opportunities. Check out more at LeaderCast.com or the link in our bio.
No, okay. But it's definitely on my bucket list.
I thought there might be a chance you had. She gave a speech that was amazing and it was all about that everyone wants to be seen and heard. And that's why I asked, because you kept saying that. But she said, the thing I'll always remember, she said to the crowd, do you know what every single person, whether it's President of the United States or someone that nobody's ever heard of, asks me after every single interview? And I was like, and the crowd almost all at once said, how did I do? Like out loud. And she's like, they all ask me, how did I do? And it doesn't matter who it is. And everyone just wants to hear, you did fine. You did great. Yeah. And so she used that to say, realize, she's like, because I'm Oprah, I get that more than other people. But like, everyone's just walking around asking, how do I do? How did I do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so powerful. And having done so many interviews on relationships, that's the one thing, is that people just want to be heard and seen. And, you know, we often will try to either jump in and help our partner. And, you know, sometimes me and my husband, our communication, we, you know, try to pride ourselves and try to elevate our communication as much as possible. And that's one of those things that we repeat over and over. Anytime I go to him with a problem, I either start the sentence of, I just need to be heard, or I need your advice. I'll have like the two cards so that he knows whether he actually should be helping or if he should just stay silent and be the support system. And we also have agreed that if I forget to do it because I'm in a potentially an emotional state, he'll pause me and be like, baby, do you just need to be heard or do you want me to help?
Yeah.
And so that has allowed so many arguments that we've had in the past of like, he just wants to fix it and I just want to feel heard.
Mm-hmm.
That I use that to any human. It doesn't have to be a partner. People just want to feel seen and heard.
I love that. And I feel like you were listening to my wife and I's latest discussion. So this is a leadership podcast. Obviously you have through your life led obviously hundreds of people with having a company so large and what you're doing now. I'm just worried, what are the connections between what we just talked about people wanting to be seen and heard? And then obviously a life partner relationship is different than an employee. But mm-hmm. what translates over, what doesn't, when you think of yourself as a leader, how do you lead with, the first principles, is that what you called it? How do you lead with that in mind and how does that work for you as a leader?
Yeah. So when I first started, I had no idea what I was doing. So I was reading all the leadership books and, you know, I picked up Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg and I read that and I was like, okay, Sheryl says to do this. So every time I was like listening to a podcast or reading a book, it's like, okay, they told me to do this. So let's try it. And I realized that it's great to have the understanding of leadership, like what to do, what the goal is, how to encourage your team. But the actual strategy that I personally had learned is it's all dependent on the person that you're talking to and that you need to connect no matter what. So I was going in. So as Questa just started to grow, I was starting in the shipping room. So I was shipping bars from my living room floor. I was carrying them to the post office and I was delivering them by hand. Growing so quickly, you know, a couple of weeks later, I now have 10 boxes. A couple of weeks later, I now have 30 boxes, right? Like it was just scaling up. And so it got to the point where I started to have my first hire. And my first hire, it was one of these days. It was so crazy. We just did this announcement. So it was so busy. And he's standing there on his phone. And in that moment, I was like, well, I can't tell him what to do. So let me just work faster. And so that was obviously lesson number one, where it was like, okay, yes, as a leader, I don't want to bark orders at somebody because that just felt uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, your job is to guide somebody. Your job is to help them get to the goal as a collective. So if you see someone's behavior not actually being in alignment with what your stated goal is as a team, as a department, then being able to call them on it in a polite way is something that I learned very early on. But the Sheryl Sandberg, and again, I found her book very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I just tried to do what people told me instead of actually going to what does connection mean to me and how do I connect with my team in an authentic way, not in the way that other people are telling me, but in an authentic way. And at the time, we had our first facility was in Compton. And we decided we really don't care what your background is, because I think that a lot of people have been brought up in, you know, one of the biggest predictors right now of your success is the zip code that you're born in.
Sure.
That's not okay.
Yeah.
So now imagine as you're hiring, if you're just hiring based on a certain zip code, then you're not going to get the span of amazing people that are to you. Access to you. So what we did is we were in Compton, we put a call out and we said, we don't care about your background. We don't care if you've got a criminal record. We don't care what, you know, what it was for. All we care about is who you want to show up to be today and who's the person that you want to become. If you show up today working hard, we will give you a chance. And so we had a line around the block, literally just with people trying to come in because we were giving people opportunities. Now, it was amazing. We met so many people that were just willing to work hard. But let's say the problem, quote unquote, is I'm 5'1". And I was running a shipping department that had 6'5" ex-convicts with tats on them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I had to, in the moment, find a way to command a room. Now imagine when you're very insecure, you don't have the experience, you don't have the skill set, because being a leader is a skill set. You don't have that, but then you're thrusted into making people, not even making, but commanding respect in the room. I had no idea what I was doing. So I was just going by like, okay, people tell me to do this and this. None of it worked. So I was like, you know what? I used to do their job. And now they kind of see me as like this person behind a computer.
Yeah.
I'm going to show them what I'm made of. I'm going to show them that I can, I'm not asking them to do a job that I'm not willing to do. And so that was step number one. Show your team that you're never going to, you're never beneath doing a job that they do. Number two, I know their job. So when people, when a leader, you know, when your team looks at you like, you have no idea what this takes. The truth was, I did know what it took, but they didn't know me to be that person. So I had to show them. And then the third one was connection. I was like, they don't see me as a human. Some people, if you're a leader, they don't, like Oprah, people don't see Oprah as a human being.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They see her as a celebrity or a star or a businesswoman or a wealthy woman, fill in the blank. But they don't necessarily see her as a human. And so that was one thing. I was like, they just need to see me as a human. And so how do I connect with them? The truth was, I grew up loving hip hop. I'm obsessed with hip hop. And my entire team freaking loved hip hop. So I went and bought speakers. And I put them in our production facility. And I said, all right, guys, on days where it's crazy, balls to the walls, I'm going to throw on some hip hop and we're going to start jamming. And that's exactly what I did. When days when we had so many orders, I would throw on some Tupac. We would just have like a rap battle, like in the middle of like the room. And then we'd go back to work and then do speed, you know, speed packing. And then we'd go back to a rap battle and then we would speed pack. That gave them the space to enjoy what they were doing. It gave them the understanding that I was human, I love hip hop. And then finally, it made us a team. Instead of us being at each other, where I'm like, we've got to go faster, we've got to get more boxes, we've got to ship more. It really brought us together. So those are the tactics and tips that I learned in my evolution of not knowing anything to then figuring it out. Because the truth was, nowhere in any leadership book did it tell you to throw on Tupac and have a rap battle.
Yeah.
But you better believe in me trying and failing at just a bunch of things, I ended up finding the thing that made us connect. Now, going to the second part of your question of how do I do that with my husband, obviously, it's very different.
Yeah.
With me and my husband as both being leaders, we had to get together and immediately write out our job descriptions.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because if you and your partner have the same title, one of you is obsolete. If you have the same skill set, one of you is obsolete and you're just going to butt heads. And so we wrote out our job titles and then we ranked them. And the truth is, my husband wanted to be CEO and I didn't want to be CEO.
Yeah.
He deals with all the legal issues. He deals with the contracts. And that's just the life that I didn't want. And so really saying, cool, you're CEO and I'm president. What does that mean? What teams do we run? And then what happens if we disagree? Because this is the big part. Because if you've got any partner, whether it's your spouse or just a business partner, you're not always going to think exactly the same. You hope not. The whole point of you being business partners, you bring different, fresh ideas to the table.
Yeah.
But how do you communicate when you disagree? So we just literally laid out a cheat sheet of what we were going to do as leaders if we disagreed. And it went something like always show respect. If it's my department, whoever's the expert in that department has final say. So we will always be open to being convinced. I'll always be open for him coming saying, I disagree with this decision that you're making. And I should be open to hearing why. But at the end of the day, we've literally had an agreement and we've pinky swore that if he tries to convince me and I disagree or vice versa, let's say he's making a decision and I disagree with him. And I'm like, look, this is why you're wrong. This is why the decision is going to be detrimental to our business. And I pitch it and he still disagrees. He absolutely has every right to say, I hear you, but I'm moving forward.
Hmm.
Now, we have agreed that my response to that will be, okay, I hear you. I still disagree, but I commit. Yeah. Now, those two words say, I'm not just jumping on board because I think that you're right. I still don't agree with it, but I commit to your decision. Now, the commitment part is the final piece that is super important for anyone to hear. Because so often when someone doesn't agree with you, whether you like it or not, first principles, human nature says, you kind of want them to fail. You kind of want to be right. Humans want to be right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you disagree and they make a decision, you don't want to be the person that's sitting there wanting to be right about the decision being a wrong decision. Because as a collective, your goal is you should be aligned on your goal. You should know exactly what you're both trying to achieve. So if one of you thinks that this is the right way to achieve this goal, you better believe you should jump on board and help to make that happen. So with me and my husband, we have these, what words do you use? What words do I use? Because I never want to spill into emotion with him. I never want to spill into, you were saying this is my husband and I'm saying this is your wife. And so we have created language to separate. I would never say that to him in my relationship. Like in my marriage, I would never say to him, I disagree, but commit.
Yeah.
It would be very different language that we use around it. So I know that was like a really, really long answer.
Great. Yeah.
But it's tactics and agreements and then language and words around things. And then the final thing, just if you're working with your spouse, it really is making sure that you have agreements ahead of time of how do we handle it when I'm off work and you're still working? Hmm. How do we handle it when I'm really struggling and I need my husband and not my business partner, but it's in working hours? We go through everything and we have a cheat sheet of exactly how we handle all of that. So you can imagine having now worked together for 14 years, it's a pretty robust, encyclopedia, if you will, system that we have. But we go down into the nitty gritty of it. So there's no misunderstanding so that our relationship never gets impacted.
I love, we never know where this podcast is going to go. And I love, we're almost out of time, by the way. But so it's probably, people probably got a lot more, or maybe some unexpected advice around just how you live with your life partner, which is so important to obviously leadership, like what the life you're creating with those closest to you in the world are going to absolutely affect everything. And I love the model that you have set about talking about things before they happen, if you can, like having a way to communicate and to be on the same page, because like you said, on a good day, you don't want to quit. But on a good day, you can talk about what we're going to do on the bad days, right? And not wait for the bad day to come. And I think there's a little bit of like a myth around maybe just love that if you're really in love or if you really are connected, if you're soulmates, you should never have to talk about your relationship. It should just work perfectly. I think people can subconsciously fall into that deal of like, what's wrong with us that we have to talk about how to communicate with each other? And everyone has to talk. Like, that's the thing, right? Everyone has to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, just think about if you're a leader, right? If you never paid attention to your budget, your P&L, your team, how they're handling things, if they're overwhelmed, if you never paid attention to all of that, do you think that your business or your department or your leadership will ever grow? No, of course it won't. But yet we think that it will in romance. And so me and my husband, we basically treat our relationship as our top business priority, right? If you think of it like a business from a strategy standpoint, it's like get your SOPs in place, in your relationship, get your communication, get that language in place, get your, reviews, if you will, in place. So our reviews, quote unquote, is asking each other where we are. So last week, actually, my husband just asked me, if I feel like I'm moving towards my goals and if my dreams are coming true. And so those sorts of questions that you just ask your partner to check in is going to be just as imperative as you would in your business.
I love that. I can change my honey-do list to KSIs now at home. So that's great.
Yeah, exactly.
Most people listen to this. Some people watch it on YouTube, but this is Lisa's book, Radical Confidence. And you should pick it up. And with your stories you told, it's clear why confidence is important to you now. I could not be more excited to meet you in person and to see you at our GOAT event coming up in May. Thank you so, so much for being a part of that. And thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my God. This has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much. And yeah, I'm so happy and excited to see you in person. So anyone listening, guys, come on down. Come and meet us. Come and hear me talk. Let's chit chat. Ask any questions. Like, this is my jam, speaking in front of people. So I really hope that people come and watch. And again, thank you for helping me navigate these last 2 years and making sure that we actually get this done.
You're welcome, Lisa. It's been awesome to meet you. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
In today's ultra-competitive job market, top-tier talent are leaving companies in search of top-tier professional development. Now more than ever, you must invest in your emerging leaders. LeaderCast 365 is a world-class professional development system featuring access to 3 annual LeaderCast events, a post-event journey to activate the inspiration and insights gained from LeaderCast events, plug-and-play lunch and learn programs with group discussion questions, concise video courses to address weaknesses and build upon strengths, and our library of more than 1,200 short-form videos from a slate of industry experts organized into 16 key professional development categories. Invest in your all-star employees and attract new top talent to join them with LeaderCast 365.